The little ones be dismissed. Little ones be dismissed for children's Bible time. Wednesday night, we're looking at Old Testament reflections of the New Testament infant in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 7 this evening. Next Wednesday evening, Christmas Eve, 7:30, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. I have put together 30 different passages. I don't think we'll get to all of them. 30 different passages that reference the Lord. The bread representing His body, the juice representing His blood, the significance in our lives, where it began, how far back. I think you'll be surprised by that. And you say, well, we know when that began. It began with Jesus Christ and His disciples. Well, you'll have to come out next week and figure that out. We're in Isaiah chapter 7, and we're going to look at the title, the name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel has a meaning, and the meaning is this: God with us. So when you see that, Emmanuel, God is sending a message in the name, God with us. Do you know what your name means? Names have meanings. And if you want to do an interesting study sometime, look at the meaning behind the name. Especially go to the book of Genesis. In the first three chapters, you look at the names of the folks, and you can find that God wanted people to be saved just from the way that they named the people and the meaning of their name. You know, that's a very interesting study. We'll not go there tonight. But we are in Isaiah chapter 7, introduced to a man named Ahaz. He was the king. Verse 1, came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. God sends a preacher to see the king with a message. Thou and Shijarshabim, thy son, at the end of the conduit at the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeah. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall... Hey, this is by pretty good authority. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. These guys are coming. It's not going to work because I'm not going to let it. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, 65 years, shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. They're just going to disappear totally. They're going to be done. How is that being portrayed? It being portrayed by good authority. Thus saith the Lord God. The head of Ephraim is Syria, the head of Samaria. Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now imagine, God says, you ask a sign. Now, I got some preacher friends. They love to put the fleece out. That fleece in the Old Testament was a sign of a lack of faith on Gideon's part. That's not a good thing to do. You shouldn't be putting fleeces out today. You should just trust the Lord God. And so, but God says to Ahaz, I'm going to protect you. They're not going to prosper. 65 years from now, they're going to be gone. But he couldn't bring himself to believe God. And so God said to him, Ask a sign. And the king said, I will not. Can you imagine looking at God and saying, I will not? I will not. But he did. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. That Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. God just told you to ask for a sign. But he didn't. Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Ouch. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening, and we would have the confidence that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will not cast us aside. We trusted you as our Savior. There is no loss. It's not partial life. It's everlasting life. It's not temporary life. It's eternal life. And we are kept by the promises of our God. Thus saith the Lord God. May we have that confidence in you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 7. Again, we have Ahaz, who is a man who... This guy is not a good guy. He's been known to sacrifice his own children to false gods. And so Syria and Israel are gonna form a coalition with Judah in order to oppose the Assyrian threat. And King Ahab was approached by the prophet in chapter 7 with a plan for unity, but he wavered. He couldn't find within himself the ability to trust God. And so, in pride, stubbornness, he refused. And he went his own way and trusted in his own wisdom. He decided to trust in men and alliances rather than trusting in the Lord his God. And so he made a treaty with the Assyrians, the enemies, and God said, I'm going to take care of you. But he just couldn't bring himself to trust God. You know, there are some people that just cannot bring themselves to trust God. We have Emmanuel, God with us. Christ said that I will not leave you comfortless. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of you to live. But we as Christians today have a difficult time trusting God. Research says you don't need a million friends. Facebook says you need a million friends. How many people do you have following you is what the wisdom of the world is. But research says that you only really need 3 to 5 close friends. That's all you really need. Because if you have a million friends, do you really know them? And the answer is no, you really don't know them at all. But you're better off to have quality friends than quantity friends. A friend that you can call up and say, can you come help me? And they will. Those are true friends. So the church, we are supposed to love the brethren, right? We're supposed to be friends to one another. And when one of our folks is in trouble, we should help them. We should help them. But the world finds that you're going to help them. How much are they paying you? Eh? I'm their friend. This is a benefit of friendship. No, it's not for pay. They're my friend. I would do anything. I would help them. I'm going to stand by them. I'm not going to cast them off. I have one really, really good friend. Her name is Mrs. Bishop. So she and I are really, really good friends. She is a good travel buddy. We were going up to see the Duartes in Pennsylvania, and the first thing you've got to do is get away from this area, right? So the first thing we did was sit in traffic. And so I rerouted only to sit in traffic in another direction. And And then I just took a deep breath, and I looked at Mrs. Bishop, and I said, I don't care if we sit in traffic, just as long as we're together. Because she is my friend. She's my travel buddy. Can you look at the... When's the last time you looked at the Lord and said, I know I've taken some detours. I know in my life it seems like I'm stuck in traffic. But as long as you're with me, I'm okay. Can you look at the Lord and say, thank you for being with me? Thank you. Or do we doubt the fact that He is Emmanuel, God with us? He's right there. He's stuck in traffic too, I guess you could say. Because He's stuck with you. Because He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. What a great promise of God. Look at chapter 8. Verse 8, Emmanuel is mentioned again, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourself, and ye shall be broken in pieces, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Why? Because the promise. Aren't you glad that God keeps His promises? Aren't you glad that God didn't say to Ahaz, so you don't like my name? You don't believe that I'm going to be with you? So I tell you what, I'm just going to forsake everybody and I'm not going to be with anyone. Aren't you glad God didn't do that? Because of Ahaz's unfaithfulness and his doubt in God's ability to provide and help and strengthen and protect and give him victory? I am. I'm glad that God is faithful. Men will fail you. God will not. Come trial, God is faithful. Come tribulation, God is faithful. Come pressure, God is faithful. When others betray you, God is faithful. God is faithful. And so he's still Emmanuel, even though he has doubted. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. What is that? It's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7. I'll give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she, and Joseph had faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. Do you? You should. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, I just read this, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Joseph understood what that name meant, God with us. Holy virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, which being interpreted is God with us. And what did Joseph do? And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a contrast between Joseph and King Ahaz. Joseph is really a nobody when it comes to financial wherewithal. Whereas King Ahaz, he had all of the government resources at his disposal. All he had to do was sign it, All he had to do was order it. But he could not bring himself to trust. So you think, if I just had more money, I'd trust God. If I just had more power, I'd trust God. No, it's not necessarily true. Trusting God is just that, is just trusting God. Joseph didn't have any of those things, but he trusted God. And life was not easy for them. But he trusted God. And got his life up. In chapter 2, you know, the wise men came 2 years later, and they're just getting settled. They're in a house. You know how gals are. They got the pictures hung, and they got the paints picked out. And Joseph says, hey, we're moving to Egypt. We just got here. About why did Joseph go? Because God told him. How is that going to work? I don't know. And Joseph went. And Mary went with him. Just a great contrast. Because he understood God with us. Matthew understood. Isaiah saw deliverance from enemy. Because the birth of Christ, Matthew, is off in the future. But Matthew understood being rescued from the enemy, but also being in the very presence of God. The very presence of God being in Mary. And Matthew had that confidence. Isaiah saw the deliverance. Matthew saw deliverance from sin. Isaiah saw victory over oppression. Matthew saw victory over sin and salvation. Are you in darkness tonight? Hard time seeing the way ahead? Depression, illness, weariness, pressure? I want to ask you tonight to see Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God is with you if you've trusted Him as your Savior. And He will help you, will provide for you. He will give you light. His word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He will give that. And you can come up to me and say, Pastor! Doesn't say the pastor will be a light, lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So God's word will. And pastor will say to you, I don't have that answer, but this book does. I can't illuminate your path, but this book will. God, you've got to get alone with the Lord. I don't have my crystal ball's in the shop. It's broke. But this isn't broke at all whatsoever. And God has promised in darkness and depression and illness and weariness under pressure, stop and remember God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. It is a shame of Christianity, sadly, in 2025, that we are more like Ahaz than we are Joseph. And we should be more like Joseph and less like Ahaz. And just trust God. The shame of Christianity, to have seen God, to have known God, to have be the recipient of the Holy Spirit of God, to even say that we want to see God and then shut our eyes. But to Matthew, this is good news. I sent this text to Mrs. Bishop just recently. Every once in a while, I get a romantic streak. And I sent to her, this is what I said, this quote. Just as the earth moves around the sun, my world revolves around you and only you. There's no one else in my life but Miss Bishop. She's my one and only. She is my travel buddy. She is my confidant. She is my friend. And then I thought about that, and I thought, man, we should really be saying that about the Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time you got down on your knees in prayer and said to the Lord, as the earth moves around the sun, so my entire world revolves around you. Service for you, love for you, obedience to you, following you, trusting you,
Where you lead me, I will follow.
But we have a tendency to, again, be like Ahab. Where you lead me, I will follow, as long as it's not. And then we have a list of places where we're not going to go, a list of things that we're not going to do, because we don't really trust God. Can you honestly testify? So when I write someone a note, they're going through a very difficult time, had a loss of a family member, or they've been diagnosed with a dreaded disease, and the doctor has given them 2 weeks to live. I will write them a note, and I will say, at the end, how do you end a note of encouragement? This is what I say. I'm praying for you. May you find God's grace to be sufficient. Can you find God's grace to be sufficient? Have you found God's grace to be sufficient? Ahaz did not find God's grace to be sufficient. He went to the Assyrians, but Joseph did. And it didn't make sense. He trusted God, and he trusted God's word. Ahaz did not. What does Emmanuel mean to you? So we say things like, if only God understood what I was going through. I just say he does. He went through your challenges himself. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Sadly, rather than understanding, rather than worshiping God, we have a tendency to worship other things, create sick substitutions, pictures, idols, crucifixes, crosses, pendants, luck charms, rabbit's feet. But here we are, 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, and we have seen him. You have trusted him as your Savior, but we struggle to trust him in the day-to-day nuances of life. Like Ahaz, we have shut our eyes to who God is, refused to acknowledge that he's in the vehicle with us. And if we recognize that God was in the vehicle with us, we probably wouldn't use profanity or shake our fist at the car in front of us or say caustic remarks to a brother or sister in Christ, or family member, beloved family member. We have a tendency to be caustic. We have a tendency to be Ahaz and not Joseph. He was minded to put her away privately until God said, I got a plan. And then without question, Joseph, being raised from sleep, verse 24, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Which is what Brother Doolittle did all those years ago. And what we should do today. But we don't want to converse with God. Rather go to a priest or a preacher or a psychic or a newspaper or a self-help section of the library or a Christian bookstore, rather than converse with God and go to God's word, which is light. The Bible didn't say the self-help section will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Not the preacher, not the deacons, not your mom and dad. Certainly not YouTube. God's word is going to be that lamp and light. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin on Calvary's cross, giving us the ability to go directly to God. What a great thing. Did you know you can pray? I wrote to somebody this week, and I said, congratulations, you have made it on my pray without ceasing list. Now, you've got to be really going through something really, really bad to get on my pray without ceasing list. That means probably every 15 minutes of every waking hour, I pray for you. I can only sustain that for a person for about 30 days. And there are just too many other people that have too great burdens. But I wrote him alone and said, hey, congratulations. You have made it on my praying without ceasing list. And then signed it, may you find God's grace to be sufficient. Tough. So God likens us to being soldiers. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Soldier on the battlefield gets tired, weary. Incoming! Take cover. Pain, storms, loneliness, disappointment in ministry and marriage. But I've got good news for you tonight. God is with us. Emmanuel, not just a name to Isaiah, not just a name in Matthew, not just a name to Joseph. He believed that God was with him. They understood. So we look at our missionaries and we say, how could a missionary for 30 years go to the mission field and not be around family, not go to a family reunion, not enjoy a birthday, not enjoy the grandkids? How could they do that? Because they have Emmanuel. And God is with them. They understand they are not alone. They have a precious promise. Law enforcement this week recommended that you have some security phrases. Something that if you're under stress, somebody has a gun to your head and you've got the ability to make one phone call, that you can say a code word and the person you're calling will understand that you're in trouble. They suggested pineapple. Pineapple? That was the first word on the list. To say something like, are the documents ready? Something that is so that you would never use, that when you say it, the person on the other end would go, hey, we need to triangulate this number because I don't know where they are, but we need to figure this out because they're in trouble. Ask them about their pet, how their pet is doing. How is Fido doing? And you're pet's name is not Fido. And you know what the pet's name is. Hey, I'm going to the gym. And you're like 600 pounds and you haven't been to the gym since you were two, right? And God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Call on the Lord. You don't need a catchphrase, because he already knows you're in trouble. He's just waiting for you to ask, and he's ready to help. So I ask you tonight, are you lonely? No matter how you feel, no matter where you are, God is with you. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the captain of our salvation, the everlasting Father, the omnipotent companion. If you're sick, lonely, deserted, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And then when somebody asks you the question, is there any hope? You can laugh and shrug your shoulders and say, I have Emmanuel. God is with me. And with that confidence, you can, like Joseph, like Mary, like Isaiah, you can face the battle if you have that confidence in the captain of your salvation. Father, I pray that you would help us to have that confidence. Not the attitude of Ahaz, but the simple, obedient Joseph, Mary, to get up and do as you've commanded, to trust you in the dark, lonely, desperate times of life. And we thank you, Father, for that promise in your name that you are with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how bad things get. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a prayer request,